Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your love for us and for your care. I thank you for your hand on our lives and the fact that you are here right now in this place. You're here to touch us and to minister to us. You're here to encourage us and bless us. You're here to listen to us. And Father, we thank you that we come into this place not as outsiders, but we come in as part of your family and as your children, and that you are here for us for that. So let your blessing and your power work in this place. Let your word declare truth and life today. May we be encouraged by you and blessed by you. And Father, may we understand that you have got good things for us, and we will praise you and honor you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, one of my least favorite things is moving. I don't like moving. I don't like moving from a new house. In fact, in the first 30 years that we were married, I counted up last night, in our first 30 years, we moved 10 times in the first 30 years. One of the things that I don't like is I like all the packing up. And then the end packing, but we did it so often there for a while that we would pack up all kinds of stuff and we would move, and then we had to move the next time. There was all kinds of stuff we hadn't even unpacked yet. It was still in the boxes that was there, and we had to try and then pack it again. So Sharon, my lovely wife, she has decided that there's this thing called a purge. And so the last few times we moved, we did not move without a purge. And in fact, last summer, we also had another purge because we'd been in our house now that we're in now for about 10 years. She says, we need to purge the garage. And I said, the garage? That's all my good stuff in it. I don't want to go through the garage. And there was stuff there that she says, you don't use anymore. You need to get rid of it. And so I had to get rid of it. I had two sets of golf clubs. I don't golf very much. I had two sets of golf clubs, but I had to get rid of one. And one of those went, and I had to get rid of that. And there was a paintball gun in there that I loved. It was a great paintball gun. In fact, but I think the last time I used it was probably about 15 years ago when I went paintball fighting with the guys from Crossroads Church up the hill, and that was probably the last time I used it, but it was my paintball gun, and it had to go, so I had to give that away. I miss my paintball gun, just knowing that it's there, kind of thing, you know? We had to go through and get rid of all kinds of things that we had to get rid of. And there was all kinds of stuff that we had to go through. And so there was several trips to the dump. There was trips over to the Salvation Army. There was trips to up the valley to our kids to give them stuff. We went through all kinds of things that we had to purge and get rid of, because we know that it was just hanging around and it wasn't helping us. It was probably hindering us. It was taking space and causing problems. This morning I want to talk to you about letting go. Because there's not things that happen in, not only when we have to do physically move and get rid of things, but there's also things in our lives that do the same sort of stuff to us. We get cluttered up in our lives. We get all kinds of stuff that's weighing us down and holding us back. We get all kinds of things that make our lives messy and that make our lives difficult because we hang on to it and we don't let it go and we don't have the strength that we need to let go. And it piles and it piles and it piles and it piles and it piles. And I've been through all of that where all of a sudden you feel like you're totally weighted down and you can't get anywhere. And you start to feel kind of like this guy. I saw that picture and go, I relate to that. There's times in my life where I have been loaded down, so loaded down with stuff that I've put upon myself that in order to be able to move ahead, it was really, really hard. And there's a whole lot of stuff in there. As we look at that, I'm sure to him this may be important and precious stuff to him. But when we look at it, we go, there's probably just a lot of it that's just garbage. At least in our eyes. But to him, it's important. It's important enough for him to stack it up and load it up and get pulling and get it going and to try and drag it around behind him. And we have all of that stuff that we carry around with us in our lives that really, really is a struggle for us sometimes. Over in the book of Philippians, here's our verse for the day. We want to take a look at this. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. And he says this, not that I have already obtained all this, Paul speaking, but or have already arrived at my goal. But I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I leave behind, I forget and put behind, and I press toward where Christ wants to go. One of our struggles as human beings is that there's a whole lot of stuff from behind that we need to let go of that we are continuing to hang on to. And when we hang on to all kinds of stuff that we should have let go of, all it does is weigh us down. So I invite you this morning, as we go through some of these things, I invite you to look at it as, is this time to purge? What do I need to let go of? Now, there's all kinds of things. The list is long and the list is huge as the kinds of things we need to really look at what we're doing and where we're going, the things that we carry around with us. Sometimes there's unforgiveness that we're carrying and we need to let go of that. Sometimes there's fear and we need to let go of that. There's a number of things that are common to us in that way, but I want to talk about some things that are a little bit maybe not talked about as much or zeroed in on as much, but are still things that weigh us down in tremendous ways. Tremendous ways. We struggle to be able to get to where we need to go. We struggle to get to where we need to be because we do not understand and have what is where we need to accomplish the things that we're doing. So we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at see what God has for us in them as we're going through. Three things we need to let go of. First one is failures and regrets. I don't know if you have ever had to struggle through your regrets. Most of us have them in something in our lives, in some area of our lives. Regrets are pretty wide in definition. They're usually based upon things that we have. There's your definition. Pain associated with wishing you had or had not done something. We remember those things. There's a lot of things that we forget about as we get older, but usually our regrets are things that we often remember. Man, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't said that. I really, really, really wish I could go back and replay. In fact, have you ever actually prayed that? God, is there any way possible for me to go back 24 hours or a year or 2 years or 3 years or 4 years? And can I go back and replay that? Because I really don't want to have that. And we're struck with the embarrassment and the struggle and the frustration of having to work through those things in our lives that we just don't have the answers for. And so we have those regrets. Those regrets and failures weigh us down, and we struggle with them because we just cannot get anywhere at all. They keep us pinned looking towards the past. And when we're pinned looking towards the past and we see the disasters of the past or the failures of the past or the regrets of the past, it hinders us to be able to see the possibilities of the future. The future that God has for us, the future he's declared for us. You cannot move into a good new place that God has for you if you don't feel worthy of being there. And regrets will change how you feel about yourself. You ever said to yourself, I'm such a stupid person? You ever said that? You ever said, oh man, I'm just so weak. Oh, I'll never change. I'll never change. There's just no point even trying anymore. I'm never going to change. I'm not even going to try anymore. I've been praying to God for years to help me with this, and I've never changed. It's just a problem that still is there. Those things get inside of us, and they start to eat away at us, and they start to destroy us, therefore, and bring through us the problems that we face, the struggles that we have. But yet we see 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, and the new is here. We forget that. We go, oh, yes, 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 the Bible says that. Yes, but look at where I am. Look at what I've been through. This is what the Bible says, but I can't feel that right now. It doesn't help me right now. Right now, I need something more solid. I need something I could just like come inside of me, just like clean it all out inside of me. I need a Roto-Rooter for my soul right now, just to get in there and clean it all out and get it all out of me and get all that garbage out of me. I need to have that happen. The Bible says these trite little things. We are a new creation. I don't get it. I struggle with it. That's okay. But you have to get past it. If you read through the Psalms, David struggled with those things as well all the time. He said, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. Yet God says, and I will follow him. The power of our choices is huge. And if you're waiting for God to come and transform, go poof, you're a different person and you feel totally different, you act totally different. It rarely happens that way. But he will plant truth inside of you. And he can say, now you can choose to believe that truth and start to act on that truth. And then you will start to see the differences happening in you. God asks us to take a step of faith, and then he fills the work in us. God, I want to feel different about my regrets and my failures. God, I want to get past them. I want to be able to overcome them. So God says, first thing you have to do is you have to believe that you are forgiven and that you are a new creation and that you are washed clean by the blood of the Lamb, that you are now able to bring that through repentance. God does things. 2 Corinthians 7:10, godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death. I got to get rid of this. I got to get my mind in the place where God wants it to be. I've got to get to the place where God, I believe what God has to say. I have to believe what the Word has to say. I have to believe what the Word has to say. And when I believe what the Word has to say, and I choose to believe the word, what the Word has to say, it doesn't make the change in me right away, but it starts to move me in that direction. And the more I begin to accept it and believe it and hang on to it, the more freedom there is from those regrets that I've had in the past. You will never completely forget what you were regretting. That rarely ever happens. That's not what God does. He moves us beyond where we are, a step at a time. And the regrets and the failures that we go through bring about struggles that we need to overcome. And God will help you to overcome them. He will give you the strength that you need. That's, otherwise, you're carrying it around like that guy and that with that whatever he had behind him. It was so buried you could hardly tell, pulling that little trailer around. And it's piled with regrets. Some of us have got, like, that's a teaspoon of regrets compared to what some of us have in our lives. And we're still dragging those things around. And when we drag them around, we fail to accomplish what God wants us to do. And we negate the glory and grace of God working in our lives. Regrets will do that to you. Hanging on to your failures will do that to you. You need to purge those from you. You need to let them go. You need to let them go. There was a poem I came across. Lord, I'm so discouraged. I don't know what to do. I have so many burdens, and I gave them all to you. But you didn't take them, Jesus. Will you tell me why that's so? The answer is simple, little one. Because you wouldn't let go. There's so much truth there. So much truth there. We say, God, take this from me. God, take this from me. Lord, let me put this behind me. Lord, let me move on. Lord, let me move on. And at the same time, we're hanging on to it. We're saying, here, take it, take it. But we've got to grasp firmly in our hands. And he's pulling. He said, come on, let go of it. Oh, yeah, but. And we almost want to torture ourselves. We deserve to be tortured sometimes, we feel, because of our mistakes. How stupid could I be? I don't deserve anything better. And so we hang on to it. God says, you got to let go. You got to let it go. You cannot hang on to it. You cannot say, Jesus, take this, and then keep pulling it back. You cannot say, Jesus, I need you to release me from this, and then keep pulling it back. We've got to make the choices, and at that point in time, have to start saying, Lord, I've given this to you. I've given this to you. I'm not going to take this back. I'm not going to take this back. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that this is gone. Thank you, Lord, that you've set me free from those regrets. Thank you, Lord, that failure no longer is impacting how you see me or how my life is. I thank you, Lord, that you are God and I can trust you with that. I thank you, Lord, that your word is true. I thank you, I thank you, I thank you. I thank you that you have done this. But we keep going and praying, Lord, take it from me. 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 Lord, will you take it from me? Come on, take it from me. Lord, please, will you take it from me? Lord, why haven't you taken it from me? I've been asking you to take it from me for so long a time. So please take it from me because I need you to take it from me. And he says, I've taken it from you if you will let go. And if he's taken it from you, don't pull it back. Thank him for taking it. Right? You got to thank him. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you've forgiven me. Because he has. Thank you, Lord, that because you have forgiven me, I can forgive myself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Second thing I want to talk about here that not only regrets is old recordings. Old recordings. I was going to put a picture of an 8-track up there. Some of you don't even know what an 8-track is. Some of you don't even know what a cassette is, but that's okay. It's getting to the point where they don't even know what a CD is, but we're going to get there. Old recordings. Things people have said to you or about you and things you have said to or about yourself. Words that are spoken over us can be very destructive. I had an aunt at one point in time. I was a young man. I was probably about 15, 16. And I remember distinctly her saying to me, well, maybe you can make something of yourself yet. And I remember that. I don't remember a whole lot else she specifically said, but I remember that one. I remember conversations I've had with myself about who I am and what I am. But there's recordings that play over and over in our head, things our parents have said. Things our teachers said. Things our friends said. Our relatives said. And they play over and over in our minds. And they play over and over again. And those things just keep holding us back and wearing us down. And they add up to that baggage all over that we're carrying around all the time. Because we start to believe what is being said to us. Particularly if it's someone that we feel that we trusted or that we looked up to, and if they start to say those things to us, it becomes so destructive. The verses that we have, I want to take a look at some of these, a couple of these real quick. We should have them there. With their mouths, the godless destroy their neighbors. Oof. The tongue has the power of life and death. with their mouths, the godless destroy their... It's somewhat unfortunate that it says that the godless say that, because unfortunately I've heard Christians do exactly the same thing. Christians about other Christians. Rumors, gossip. I don't like the way he dresses. I don't like the way he teaches. Their theology is different than mine about this thing over here. So, you know, they're part of Satan himself because they believe something a bit differently than I do. You destroy. But we do it to ourselves too. Going back to those regrets, I'm such an idiot. I have no hope. Those recordings that have been there, and they go around and around and around and around and around and around and around. And then when you tie this together with the regrets, you have something that you regret. You remember all the things that others said about you at the time that took place as well. So it compounds itself one upon the other, again and again and again and again and again upon the other, building, 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 building. And it's carrying on, and it's adding to your baggage that you're trying to pull and drag around with you. And you're going through your life and you're saying, man, I'm struggling to be who I'm supposed to be. I can't be the father I'm supposed to be, or I can't be the mother I'm supposed to be. I can't be the guy at work I'm supposed to be. I'm struggling with all this stuff because going through my head are all these things about, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make this work. I don't know how to do this. I've struggled with an understanding of this all the time, and we're battling again and again and again because we're playing these things over and over in our minds, and it's just baggage that we're carrying on around us. Listen, if you want to be able to move on with your life, you have to understand that the baggage that you've got, you have to make the choices to let go of. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not. I'm going to talk to you about the rest of that in a minute. But it's not easy, but you still have to make the choices to get rid of the baggage. You can't keep carrying it. But those words that others have said weigh you down. They'll come at you. They'll slow you up. They'll give you a perspective that's anything but what God has. They'll hold and hurt you. You have to let them go. Third one I want to talk about this morning is control. Control. Do you know that control can be your baggage? The need to control? The need to control situations and people? You need to control them, that's part of your baggage. If you feel that it is up to you to try to control every situation, that can be part of your baggage. Now, to be able to have that strength is a leadership trait that's necessary to a certain degree, but you can't control everybody and everything. You cannot. You cannot do it. We cannot control what happens around us. We cannot control others, and we cannot control God. And if you're freaking out and stressed out because you're trying to control any one of those, and you can't, that's baggage. That'll cause you all kinds of problems if you try to control everything around you. There is only one thing and one person ultimately you can control. That is you. You are the only one you can control. Now, as parents, we need to try and control our kids. Please, thank you very much. And I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about trying to control everything else around you. And when it's not in your control, you freak out about it. You get all upset about it. It stresses you. It causes you all kinds of problems. And it creates all kinds of things that we cannot find an answer in. What control ultimately does is it puts faith in us instead of faith in God. I've got the way to make this work. Right? And so when we try to control, it's because I got the way to make this work. So we try to control God. God, we need an answer here, and this is how I want you to do it. And fortunately, God's got a sense of humor. He just chuckles and says, okay. You try to control your spouse. Look, this is what I want you to do, and I want you to do it now. I have to learn to, you know, there's a little bit of that, but Sharon and I have to learn that we speak a different language sometimes. She says, Dan, will you take the garbage out? I say, yes. And 10 minutes later, she's mad because she's taking the garbage out herself. I said I'd take the garbage out. She said, I meant no. I said, okay, I thought you meant before the weekend. We have to clarify these things, make sure they're right and understand them. I, you know, Dan, will you clean up your office? Sure. My New Year's resolution. We can't control each other. We're not supposed to. We control us, control our mouths, control our thoughts, control what we do, but we're not supposed to control those around us or try to control around those around us. We're not supposed to try to control God. And so when things get out of control, we freak out. And what happens is now we have a lack of faith in what God is. Lack of faith in what he's doing. Mark chapter 11, verse 22. I don't know if I have it there. There we go. We'll get to those in a sec. Let me just tell you about this. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. And I came across something really interesting about this. The way that this is put together, have faith in God, it actually means, in the way it's set up in the Greek, it means hold to the faithfulness of God. Okay? So have faith in God from Mark 11, 22. This means hold to the faithfulness of God. In other words, hang on to the fact that God is going to be faithful to you throughout all that you're going through. Hold to the fact that God is faithful to you, faithful to his promises, faithful to his word. Hold that God is faithful to you. And there's a whole different dynamic that takes place when we begin to understand that. Having faith in God means that we are letting go of those things that are a problem for us. Here it is. I'll get that in a sec. We're going to have to grace yet. Control moves beyond where we are and gives us to the place where we need to let God take the control that we are struggling with. There's a story in the New Testament about a woman who had an issue of blood. And she was not supposed to be out in the crowds because she was unclean, but she heard that Jesus was coming. And as Jesus was passing through, she determined that I've got to get to him. I've got to go and I've got to touch the hem of his garment. And the scripture says that she had spent all of her money trying to get well. She'd done everything she could. She'd done everything that would put her control in her hands to make the situation right. But she couldn't get it done by her means. And as a last resort, I've got to touch Jesus. I've got to touch Jesus. And so as this woman who was unclean pressed through the crowd and pushed through the crowd, Jesus was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. She's pushing through the crowd. The crowds are on Jesus. She's pushing through. She's getting there. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to him. I've got to get to him. Because he is the only one who can release this burden from me. I can't control it. I've tried everything I could to control it. I tried everything I could to break the answer myself. I've done everything I could. I've spent all my money. I've done it in every way. And I've done it all. And I've tried and I've tried and I've tried and it hasn't worked. Now I've got to get to Jesus. She touched the hem of his garment. Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? The disciples said, Everybody touched you. There's people all around you that were going through this crowd. They're all pressing in on you. Everybody was touching you. He says, no, 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 no. Someone touched me with faith. Someone touched me believing that their burden could be lifted right now. Someone touched me knowing that I was the answer that they needed. Someone touched me. She pressed through and got her answer from God, even when things were outside of her control, way beyond her control. So if we struggle with regrets and failures, if we struggle with old recordings, if we struggle with control and so many other things, I'm not limited to these things, but time, I can't get into them all. There's so many more things. But if we struggle with those things, what's the answer? What are we pressing toward? We're pressing toward grace. We're pressing toward grace. The grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and for your grace. There is a difference, by the way, between mercy and grace. There is a difference. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. So mercy is, I deserve not to have a relationship with God, and I deserve to go to hell. That's what I deserve. Because if there's any sin in my life at all, at any time in my life, I'm separate from God. So I deserve to go that. But mercy is, God says, I got mercy on you. And because of my mercy, I will give you life where you deserve death. The grace of God is, now, I don't have access to power in myself. How do I get rid of all this baggage by myself? How do I overcome all these things by myself? How do I be able to hear? How do I know? How do I find healing when there is no healing? How do I find wisdom when there is no wisdom? How do I find all these things that are going on? How do I find all this stuff? Grace is, God says, I got it. I got it, and I'll give it to you. What you don't have that you need, I will give to you. That's grace. It's given me what I don't deserve. I don't deserve God's goodness in my life, but he gives it to me. You don't deserve God's goodness in your life, but he wants to give it to you. He's shown his mercy to you already. But grace is what sets us free. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. He's speaking to Paul as Paul was struggling with the what he called his thorn in the flesh, where he's, God, I prayed 3 times to get rid of this, and it's still there. Why won't you take it away from me? God, I need you to get rid of it for me. And Jesus' response, or God's response, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace, my ability, my grace, my power, my strength will get you through. It's sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. One of the reasons we carry all that stuff around with us sometimes is we don't want to admit our weaknesses, so we carry it in a hidden bag. But when we see the weaknesses that we're there, we give those weaknesses to God, his strength comes in. And I tell you this morning, the things, the burdens you've been carrying, the loads you've been hanging on to, God's strength will come in that area of weakness in your life, and he can help to remove and lift that off of you and set you free. That's the grace of God. Because he loves you. He loves you. But where sin increased, oh, I love this, Romans 5:20, where sin increased, grace increased all the more. If you're worried about your failures and your mistakes that come back, and you keep hearing this voice saying, oh, you're such a loser, you make so many mistakes, you're continuing to make mistakes, the mistake you made was huge. Well, it says where sin increased, grace increased all the more. Now, if you understand what's really being said there, where grace increased, the word where sin increased, the word there in the Greek means that where there was an abundance of it. Abundance of sin. But where grace increased all the more, where the grace of God, superabundance of grace. You have an abundance of sin, there's a superabundance of God's grace that will overcome any of that in your life. God has that for you. You will never sin beyond his ability to forgive you. That's not a license to sin. But you will never sin beyond his ability to pour his grace and love on you. You will never sin beyond his ability to create in you the goodness of God. He wants to pour it on you. He wants to give you his love. He wants to wrap his arms around you and say, you are my child. I love you. I care for you. And I want you to get rid of these burdens that you've been dragging around for so long. I want you to purge those out of your life. And by doing that and by giving them to me, truly giving them to me and letting go, I can start you on a new path and start you to go where you need to go and what you get what you need to have. Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke and you will learn from me, for I am gentle and humble at heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can we go to the next one? Nope, next one. Going the wrong way. Wasn't the land of the one there? Didn't get on there? Okay. Can we go back to the guy with the wagon? There we go, that's what I want. Oh, man. Are you like that guy with his wagon? Emotionally, spiritually? Do you feel weighed down? And you're barely able to struggle through? You're working. Do you recognize that most of the things in your cart that you're dragging behind you, God wants to release from you? He said, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden. If you're tired and you're loaded down, he said, come to him. Come to him and give those to him. And then he's going to put on us something that's light and easy. And he said, now you can move on. Because I'm carrying the load for you. Doesn't mean you're going to forget it. Doesn't mean that it's going to be completely removed in your history. But what it does mean is that he's carrying it now, not you. And he can do that. But you've got to give it to him. We press toward what is ahead. Lord, we need your grace. I need your grace in my life. Lord, I need to know that you're with me every step. I need to know that you love me. I need to know that I'm moving into the place that you want me to be. I need to know that I can get past what I'm going through. I can get past my past. I can let go of those things I've been hearing and been dragging me down. I can let them go and move on to where you have me. God, I know you can do this. I know you can do this. And Lord, I give it to you. But again, once you give it to him, don't take it back. Once you get to him, thank him. Lord, I give it to you. I gave it to you. I gave it to you yesterday. I gave it to you a week ago, a year ago. Lord, I thank you that when I gave it to you, you took it. And the enemy keeps trying to tell me, I got to take it back. It's not gone. But no. Lord, your word is true. And your grace is sufficient. Your love is abounding. And I can trust you. And my faith is in you and what you are doing. And your faithfulness to do what you said. And we see the goodness of God working. This morning, I ask you, what do you need to let go of? Look into your life right now and look at the things that you're carrying around. What do you need to let go of? Are there words that have been spoken over you? Are there failures and regrets? Are you trying to stay in control and frustrated and freaking out because you can't control the things going on around you? Is there forgiveness you need to give that you have not given? Is there something else in your life that you know that God wants you to deal with that you have not let go of, but you keep hanging on to. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. We are a new creation in Jesus Christ. And in that new, as that new creation and what he has, we're able to experience what he has for us, which is life. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. We say that a lot, but we can't forget it. Your life is meant to be to the full. It's not meant to be pulling the cart. Where are you this morning? I'm going to ask the musicians if they'll come. The prayer teams, if you'll come, please. Only you know where you are at. Only you and God know the struggles that you're going through right now. And they're all things that are can be frustrating, can be a struggle. God looks down on you and he wants to, and he says to you, I love you and I want to help you. I want to get you away from that cart you've been pulling. Because there's a lot of stuff there that you don't need. There's a lot of stuff there that is just holding you back. And he says, you can be free. You need that this morning. Now's the perfect time to give it to him and let him do it, to work in your life. Will you stand with me, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you are a God of grace and of mercy and of power and of strength. I thank you, God, that you love us. I know, Lord, thank you. And Lord, we need to touch you right now. As that woman did, because you're the only answer that can help us. As Lord, as we reach out to touch you, we ask, Father, that you touch us. Lord, as we give you those things that we've been dragging around, those burdens we've been carrying, that Lord, we will find in you that strength, the freedom that we need. Ability to move on. Lord, remove the burdens. Remove the weight. And bring healing, Father, in your name. Stuff I don't need to carry. Father, you see us this morning as we lift our hands to you. We lift them to you, God, because you are the answer.
You are our hope. You are our strength. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for each one that is here that's reaching out to you, that right at this moment, Lord, you will come and you will speak to their hearts, speak to their minds. And Lord, you will bring a release in the name of Jesus. It will be done. The burden's removed. The weight removed. The freedom there in the name of Jesus. I speak freedom in Jesus' name. I speak freedom. I speak freedom over your lives. I speak freedom. Receive His love. Receive His mercy. Receive His grace. I speak the power of God over you now to bring about His touch and His work in you. In Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. 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 Now, if you need prayer further, these teams are here. There's communion here. There's prayer there. There'll be more people to pray with you if you want to come and get prayer. Pray some more. You come and get prayer this morning. Don't leave. There's something gnawing at you at the inside. Don't leave until you've come together with someone. And we declare the freedom and power of God to work in you. Let His grace and power be with you today. Now may God's grace and power and strength be over you. May His Spirit guide you and strengthen you and give you peace.
Down, liable, tear them, coming after me.